Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR.
And today we got a special guest, two-time NBA champion, Mr. Josh Powell, man. We appreciate you for coming on, man.
Appreciate y'all for having me, man. Happy Sunday. Love and blessings.
Happy Sunday, man. Family day. You feel it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, this guy, Chris, he been rubbing it in my face all day that his family cooking and stuff. And, you know, I'm over here foodless right now, but it's all good. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Josh, man, you were undrafted, made it to the league, but you was undrafted in 2003, right? Was that the same year as LeBron or the year before?
Same
year.
Same draft class, yeah.
Same draft class. What was going through your mind? You came out as a sophomore from North Carolina State. You know, what was going through your mind with, you know, once the draft came and you ended up going undrafted and things?
I was fortunate because my agent walked me through the process. I mean, obviously you want to hear your name get called or want the opportunity to, you know, shake a hand and get the cap placed on your head, but you know, I had a moment, you know, after the draft, but it was just time to get back to work, as they say, you know, moving forward and just be prepared for what was next. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my agent was a huge blessing for me because he just prepared me for the process and what it looked like, and then we had a plan in place, and you know, that was just all a part of me just trusting the plan and staying with it.
That's what's up. That's nice. What's up. Yeah, cause we had two episodes. We had Darryl Armstrong on. He was undrafted as well, and I asked him that same question. Like, was that a part of the plan? You know, like you said, of course it's to actually get drafted, but you know, from then, like, is it like, oh man, like I should have stayed, or I should have, you know, blah blah blah, or was it just kind of like you said, trusting the process and stuff?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I think that just in life in general, you know, things can happen. You know, you never know. And in my situation, and I had learned this like a couple months ago. I did an interview, and my agent happened to be there while I was doing the interview. And even back then in, like, Draft Express and some other things, man, I was projected like a top 20 pick, late first rounder. And that ended up changing. So, you know, anything can happen, man. And obviously, you know, I was disappointed, you know, a little bit frustrated because, you know, I didn't understand, but like I said, I had to stay with it. I didn't have any regrets about my decision and me choosing to come out of school.
Right. That's what's up.
Okay. So from there, you said you guys had a plan in place. So then you went to, you know, you went overseas for a couple years, and then you land with the Dallas Mavericks in 2005.
Yeah, well, I actually signed with the Mavericks, though. That following, like, I did summer league, signed with the Mavericks. Then I went overseas. I did a half a year overseas. Came back, did summer league, I think, with Seattle and Atlanta or Miami. I can't remember, it was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up going overseas for a full year and then came back and signed a 2-year deal with Dallas.
What was that like in Dallas, you know, that year? I think that's what Chris was saying earlier, that year. You guys, you know, had an amazing season.
Well, first of all, man, it was a blessing just to be able to get back. And not only get back, but to be able to start, you know, the journey again, you know, just from a different place and a different mindset. And,
right.
You know, it was a very amazing year. We went 60-22, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the finals that year. Devastating loss to Miami. Still one of the more controversial final series, I think.
Mm-hmm.
and just how things went. But it just put a taste, you know, just the first of all, just losing, it just put one of those sour tastes in your mouth, and you know, understanding what it's gonna take to get back to that point. But then also too, just understanding what it takes in order to stay and play at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you obviously have regular season play, then you have postseason play, and then you have, just from the standpoint of, I became a father that year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got traded that year. So it was like a lot of things that happened, losing in the finals, becoming a father like 2 weeks later, and then getting traded, like the team, like I didn't even hear nothing from the team, no nothing. I happened to be watching ESPN at the house, man, and it came across the clicker. So it was like,
oh, wow.
All right. And then being traded to a situation, man, where I pretty much didn't have a chance to make it, man. And I showed, you know, I showed and proved what I could do. And the team took a chance on me, man. One of the most rare things that happened as far as, you know, with a team, so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
so basically, bro, like when I got traded there, I was on a non-guarantee. So my first year was guaranteed. My second year was a make deal.
Got it.
They were full.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally just drafted, I think it was James White that they just drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally cut a first round pick to keep me, man. Like I went in that thing and put in work all summer long.
Yeah.
Man.
And, that's one of the stories a lot of people don't know, man. And I'm proud of that. You know what I'm saying? Because it just shows what hard work, what God can do, just believing and trusting, man. And I showed up every day, man. And I went through a lot of battles. And those guys really believed in me, and a lot of those guys vouched for me, man. And that was able to get me another year, you know, mm-hmm. me playing in the league.
Right.
So that's one of my most proud moments, man, knowing that my back literally was up against the wall and still being able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a really proud moment for me.
Right, right. And like I said, at this point you with the Pacers, and what was it like playing with those guys over there in Indiana? You had Steven Jackson and Al Harrington. He was on that team, right?
Yes. Yeah. Al Harrington, Jermaine O'Neal, Jeff Foster, David Harrison, Darrell Armstrong, Marquise Daniels. And we had a grip.
Yeah.
Great
squad.
Jamal Tinsley.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice little break, man. And you know, interesting group from the standpoint of, like, everybody went out. Like, it was a whole team thing of being out, enjoying the nightlife and battling on the court the next morning, man. So, that year, you know, it was crazy because we had that incident, you know, with Steven Jackson and all those guys at the strip club, or it was at the club. I can't remember. I think it was the strip club. But that whole shoot, like, it was just a lot that had went on
that
year, man. But
yeah, that's
we
what
had
I was
a really good
at.
Team.
I said, yeah, that's what I was going to get at. I was like, you know, what is like deal with those guys over there and stuff? You know,
You know what? I'm gonna tell you some real stuff, man. It reminded me of being like how I grew up, coming from College Park to playing at Riverdale. And, it was like that type of atmosphere, man. Everybody riding with each other, riding for each other.
Yeah, see.
You know, everybody just being with the shit at any given time. Excuse my language, but
yeah, you good.
Pretty good.
It was just one of them things, man. It was like being around your brothers, man. Like, and you know, that makes for some of the best times. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all grinding hard on the court, and then that's keeping that same energy off the court. You know what I'm saying? Like a real family environment and atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. People don't understand how much that dynamic really plays a huge part. Like, man, I'll stay on a team just for that dynamic. Whether, you know, we can have a losing season, but if that's the vibe I got, I'm like, man, I'm good with it because I know what's coming.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Gotta know what you're dealing with or who you're dealing with. There ain't even no question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a common feeling through most locker rooms. That's not a common thread where, you know, guys really, you know, family like that, man.
Right. Right.
So Josh, were you out with him that night? I sound like I'm interrogating you. was you out with him that night when all the stuff went down?
No, I was in, I bailed out last minute for that part of it.
Got you.
I was trying to make a team, you know what I'm saying? So I did what I could do. I had to go ahead and take it on in.
I was wondering because you were part of that trade, you know, to go to state. And, you know, I believe they said in the All the Smoke podcast that was a part of the reason, like, you know, Steven Jackson and Al got traded or whatever from being there. Was you being a part of that trade? Was it just basketball reasons?
I think that I was thrown in there. I think that's what made it work, because initially they was just trying to trade. Yeah, or something like that. And then they ended up throwing me in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Last minute. So I'm assuming it was for basketball reasons. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. And, Golden State, being in the Bay Area, that's where I lived out there for a year. It's a different type of place out there. That's when, you know, Golden State was in Oakland. They won a year out of that. What was your time like in Oakland with them fans out there?
Listen, man, Oakland has some of the best fans in the league, bro. The energy, they just real ruthless, man. And I loved it, bro. Especially because, you know, we were the We Believe crew, you know what I'm saying?
And how
we were able to come on strong towards the end of the year, man, make a push for the playoffs. And not only that, man, but we pulled what they say arguably is the biggest upset in NBA history, with the 8 seed beating a number 1 seed. And it was just an amazing time, man, and definitely in my books, man, playing and just being able to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, I think that's the old Golden State fans. I think now everybody talks about the Warriors fans is full of, you know, a different kind of crowd now, techie type of deal, because the tickets are so much.
Yeah, and I feel you're right. No, I feel them. But, you know, I think that's what got it started. And, you know, obviously with Mark Jackson and then Steph and everybody else coming through, man, doing what they doing, man. Can't do nothing but salute that.
For sure.
Definitely. From the Warriors, you get it over and you get a stint in L.A. with the Lakeshore, right?
Well, let me shout out the Clippers, man, because I got a huge opportunity. From a personal standpoint, that would probably be my favorite year, and here's why. Just being able to showcase what I can do individually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we had a good team, man, but we had a lot of injuries. So I was able to, like, start and play, like, a lot of minutes the last, like, 2.5-3 months of the season. Mm-hmm. So that's actually what helped me get that Lakers job, to be honest with you, because both times, you know, well, 4 times playing against them, having 4 really great games, you know what I mean? And just showing what I could do, which helped me, because when Ronnie left to sign with Golden State, they, you know what I'm saying, I was able to get a workout with them, and then I came in and got that spot.
Mm-hmm. And
so
then you go with the Lakers, and we that's where the title, two-time NBA champion, comes in, man. What was it like once you got over there and, you know, laced it up in the purple and gold and, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol and Bynum and all those guys?
So many different things, man. The biggest thing I will tell you is the amount of chemistry, how guys, you know, their rapport on and off the court. Our practices were way harder than our games, which, again, is a result of why we were able to win two championships.
Mm-hmm.
How I improved as a person, as a man, as a player, the amount of knowledge I gained from so many of my teammates and the coaching staff, being challenged for greatness on every level is what you get being in an organization like that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, Josh. Man, at that time, 2008, 2010, man, y'all was the enemy, man. I ain't like none of y'all, man. The Lakers, man. I was the T Mac guy, the LeBron guy, and you know y'all was
the Laker hater.
I just didn't like y'all then. We good now.
It's all good. We felt that coming into every arena. But you know what, man? Those type of atmospheres are some of the best atmospheres to be a part of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you know what you bring to the table, man. So it's like either they love you or they love to hate you. And we had that attitude, that swag, man, when we walked in any arena, including home, night in and night out.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I've been a lifetime Laker fan, man, so I definitely remember your years there. And I definitely remember that time where you know, it just felt like we was never out of a game. I felt like we was going to win every game, even though I know it's not realistic. It's just the vibe that came with it. Man, it was just – we was on a tear at that time.
Right.
I think – go ahead, Mark.
No, and I'll go move on to the late great Kobe Bryant. Did you still have a close relationship with Kobe? After basketball and things.
I mean, we did. I hadn't spoken to him for like maybe a year or so prior to him passing. I had been going through my own little stuff and I had kind of lost touch with a few people, but I mean, that every time I seen him, man, that's big bro. That's always love. You know what I mean? And, he is the epitome of like greatness. You know what I'm saying? Like on and off the court, like he raised the bar.
For sure. It was his, you know, like everybody knows and we're aware of his, you know, the crazy work ethic he had, you know, on the court. But being next to that, you know, over the years and seeing it in person, what was that like for you? Like, was it, you know, because he seemed like a, you know, him, LeBron, Jordan, they seemed like superheroes.
His attention to detail, his competitive spirit. I was most impressed by the husband and the father.
Yeah, for sure.
Just how he showed up, and I know people got to more so see it after he retired.
Mm-hmm.
But that was him though. You know what I'm saying? Like that was him. That was his lane. That's something that he did. Like I know it's plenty of times he walked and talked me through plenty of situations just in life, you know what I mean, on the court, off the court, or whatever. And those were the things that I appreciated about him and in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That's okay. Well, I'll give you one more. What about your most memorable Kobe moment that when you think of Call of Duty, you always remember this moment.
I got so many, but one is he came to my high school to help me present a tech to my school for a technology center. And that was big to get him to come to the south side of Atlanta and show love to Riverdale. That was big. And then another moment, man, is just, we would just go to the Waffle House and kick it from time to time whenever we would be in southern cities. And that, for me, is like, I'm a Georgia boy, man. So, like, Waffle House is
big
shit for me. You know what I mean?
That's big.
And just to get him, somebody like him to pull up, you know what I mean? And we just breaking bread, at the Waffle House chilling, it was cool.
Yeah, man. Every time I touch base in Atlanta, that's the first place I go. I got to stop at the Waffle House, man. But, it's a different culture. Yeah, it's a different culture for him coming from L.A. because he can't just go sit down and eat somewhere and it'd be solid, without all this fanfare. In Atlanta, Georgia, the solid, he can go do that, and it's cool.
Well, we went, wasn't nobody really up in there, but he was super cool, man. He was that type of dude, he'd be super cool with people. He wasn't tripping.
Yeah, and that's the side, like you said, after he retired and stuff, people started seeing, he's approachable. I had a friend, we from Fresno, California. I don't even know if you heard of him. We probably have Fresno State or something, but... They seen him at the Mamba Academy, and he's just out there, no security and nothing. And he ended up taking a picture with my friend Darrell Davis' son, and it was like he was just super cool. It was like he's kind of not what you expected. I remember when I was a Laker enemy back in the 08 and them championship years. I always used to tell people, I'd be like, man, I don't want to meet Kobe Bryant because I'm worried I'm going to like him. And I was something I always worried about.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, bro. ain't nothing wrong with liking anybody, man. We need more love out here.
Definitely. That's facts. And are you planning the big three again this year?
I will be there.
Yes. Killer Threes. We talked to one of your teammates.
Frank Nitti.
Yeah, last year, Frank Nitti. And he told us also that you should probably have another career outside of sports as a comedian or a dancer.
Talking about me?
Yeah, he said you're the funniest person on the team. You're always dancing.
Yeah, I mean we had a great time, bro. Always had a great time, man. Frank is great people, great spirit. Just a great family man, great competitor. I rock with Frank, my dude.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you just think y'all? I know y'all lost Stat, but what you think your chances are getting back to the ship?
I think they're good because we have a team of hungry players. You know what I'm saying? And just us having an understanding of what it takes to get there, And I'm just confident in the squad, man. I expect great things from us, and I look forward to getting back out there and making it happen, bro.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Chris.
I was about to say what you was about to say. They making a stop through sack, man. We're going to have to come check y'all out.
Yeah, that's where I'm based.
It's a good atmosphere, man. Y'all will really enjoy it. Please do.
And did they switch it this year? I kind of glanced over the scale. Once I seen Sacramento, I just circled that. But is it just one game this weekend, or not one game, but one day?
Yeah, they're not doing it. It's just one day. So I know it might seem long, but they tried it out in Dallas, and it went pretty good. So I think the people will enjoy it. They'll have entertainment. They'll have a way to break up that 6 hours. It's gonna be good.
Right. As a player, you guys like it, or did it really matter to you guys?
I don't think it really matters, because it's like you show up right around the time you're supposed to show up for your game. You know,
right. It's
no different. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, okay.
It's not like if somebody has a game at 12, then the people who have to play at 6 got to be there at, you know, before, you know, something like that. No, it's like
yeah.
The people who play at 6, they'll get there at 4 o'clock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah. it just ain't no
them,
good, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
It's not them AAU tournaments where we there all day for 6 hours waiting for our next game.
You're pulling up to make it do what it do.
So I got a question about today, man, because I'm like you said, it's family day. I've been cooking and stuff today. I'm watching the game, man. I want to know how you feel about the game, man. The Lakers and the Clippers, I mean, the Lakers showed up, I feel like, and looked like the better team. Like, not just one, but they look like the better team. And what's your take on the series on those two right now?
So I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but I'm not surprised. First of all, you know, if those two teams happen to meet in any playoff series, it's going to be an amazing series. So do not get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
As I've been able to watch, you know, a guy like LeBron throughout the years and just see what he's been able to do, they're always able to figure things out, man. And ever since the passing of Kobe, there's been a whole different fire lit underneath his ass, as well as the Lakers organization. And just, you can see how they're playing and just how they're moving them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
yeah.
They, I mean, you talk about, it's been a big week for them because they just played Milwaukee two nights
yep.
ago and then turned right back around and played the Clippers, who've had their number, it seems
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
be able to get a big win, man. I just... All the talk, all the media people, man, just please understand this guy, number 23, he's not your average. You know, people want to always kill him about his mentality and this, that, and the third, but what about the mentality of being a winner?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just because somebody may not move in the way somebody else does, but if they're able to get it done, I think that's what it's all about, right?
Right, that's what I thought.
You know, I just think that, you know, we keep forgetting that, man. But, you know, I'm going to go back and see if I can catch the game. But, you know, if I'm on both sides, just going into my coaching bag, I understand how both teams would prepare, especially in a playoff series. And I know that, you know, the Clippers, even with them, how they've shown at times, you know, look at how the Clippers did Houston the other night, man. They shut that shit down.
Like, completely.
they letting them folks know that if we see y'all, it's going to be hell to pay. So I just think just paying attention to these teams and how they moving, man, and they're making statements in some of these wins. So, you know, it just seems like the NBA, you know, it seems to be in a really good spot, you know, the talent-wise and how guys are competing, you know, at a better level, at a higher level. And it's just, you know, it's exciting to watch night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what I was impressed by, like, if you get a chance to go back and watch the Clippers-Lakers one, I was impressed with the fact that LeBron, you know, it's been all kind of talk about him declining, or, you know, he's not the best player in the game right now, and, you know, Giannis and Kawhi putting up, you know, crazy numbers and just doing, you know, doing amazing things. They're all great players. But this was the first time in a while I've seen LeBron take the challenge of saying, like, hey, I'm going to defend Giannis. And he did the same thing today when he watched the game. He defended Kawhi a lot. And, you know, Kawhi struggled.
I think people forget, that, for one, you can't let all your tricks out the bag in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's going to be a lot of people going to make a change, adjustments. People going to guard certain people. So it's good to see guys, superstars guarding superstars and all of that stuff. but they're still gearing up. And I'm sure if you ask LeBron, in his interviews, he always says one thing, right? He's like, oh, we still got a ways to go. We still got to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, man, there's still, you know, 20-something games left. I'm sure there's still things that they're thinking about that they can do to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Clippers are thinking the same thing, because they're at a point now where they're starting to get everybody at full strength, you know, which is something that's been different for them.
Right.
So it's just making those adjustments, man. And you also notice, too, that the Lakers are starting to give LeBron some nights off.
Yep.
And, you know, how they're playing him and using him. So you'll see everybody making adjustments. And it's just an exciting thing to watch right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
To your point, that was exactly what he said in the interview. First thing you said after the game, when she asked him about the meaning of the game, Lisa Salters, and he said same thing. He says, you know, we still got some work to do. We're just trying to get better over the last 20 games of the season. And but yeah, today was different. You know, both teams were at pretty good strength. It was very high intensity game, high defense intensity on both sides. It was a playoff atmosphere for sure. And so just to see that. You know, you got a lot of reaction out of LeBron and AD today, where they was, you know, flexing and stuff like that. You ain't seen, you know, for most of the season, but to see it today, I said, okay, yeah, they ramping up. It's about that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like you said, the Rockets and stuff like that, I don't believe in those teams, man. I feel like it's cool. It's cool right now. It's cute. But, everybody gonna have that number when that playoff comes. They're not gonna be able to, you know, run that small ball lineup, because if they're not hitting on all cylinders, it's bad.
It's all bad.
And Jocelyn, so when it comes down to, earlier I made a post saying that the LA series, whenever that series happens, hopefully it's in the conference finals, but whenever that happens, I said that's the NBA Finals. Do you think there's a team out east? You know, Giannis and the Bucks. They, you know, they look great. You know, during the season, just like they did last year. Do you think there's a team in the east that can beat one of those LA teams?
I mean, come on, my brother. You already know. Shit, Milwaukee's one of those teams. I mean, it's like we totally dismissed the defending champs. At one point in time, I think they won like 16 straight or something like that. Who else in the East, man? Just from a matchup standpoint, Celtics, Philly, if they can get it together, they still a problem.
Get healthy and all that.
Man, let's not forget about Miami. Come on now.
Yeah, that's true.
Their young team is hungry, man. They've been handling business. So, yeah, it's some teams in the East, man, just like there's some things in the West going on. Don't sleep on that Dallas Mavericks team. You know, and if Memphis happens to get in, like, they're young, yeah. But it's scary with them because you never know, and they're not afraid of the moment, man. They can mess around and get an upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody's playing around. So
I feel like that with the Denver Nuggets, too.
Yeah, but I think Denver peaked.
Yeah.
They couldn't figure them out a couple years ago. I think they peaked, though.
Mm-hmm. No, Memphis kind of got a little bit of that belief came in them, you know, with that the attitude of, you know, they ain't afraid of nobody.
Right.
So, pick a team. Pick who's in the finals this year. Who's coming out the West, who's coming out the East. Who wins it all?
With the spirit of Kobe, I'm going to say the purple and gold is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be between Milwaukee and Boston. again, because of the spirit of Kobe, I'm going to say L.A. going to take the whole show, purple and gold.
The whole show. Purple and gold there. You
know, music, I just want to give y'all something real quick. Y'all notice how things happen, right? For example, when New Orleans won their first and only Super Bowl, it came after Katrina. Something devastated that happened last year, man, even with the whole situation with, I thought with Kansas, man, where they was able to take care of business. That whole, well, I'm a little different with that whole Raptors thing, man, because literally, if there's a healthy KD, man, Toronto ain't got no business being on the court with them, but.
Right.
I mean, just paying attention to sports, man, and kind of how some things go, man. I think baseball, it happened like that, too, with Houston.
Yep.
And with the whole flood and all that. And then they ended
right after the flood, the Astros were the Mets.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's, I mean, you know.
It's a feel-good story.
It's going to be interesting. I got purple and gold to bring it home.
Mm-hmm. Back to take it back a little to the season or whatever. Who's your MVP right now? Yeah, it's tough.
Nah, it ain't tough. I'm a shout out my cousin, man. I'm gonna put Chris Middleton as the MVP. But if you don't win it. I know he ain't in the conversation, but if he don't win it, man.
You got to vote.
I just think, man, it's hard not to give it to LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't see, and listen, Giannis is, I mean, Giannis out there going dumb, so.
Right.
But I don't see how you don't give it to LeBron.
Yeah.
And I ain't even talking about the age. Mm-hmm. It's just Bourbon competing at a high level, and it's like he's averaging a career best 11, 12 assists a game.
Right.
Like, who saw that coming? You know what I'm saying? Well, he's normally around 8 or 9.
Right.
And he's like, he giving you 25, 26, and an additional 11, 12. So he's responsible for about almost 50 points a game.
Right.
Right. People don't think of it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, that's for sure.
And I don't got too many more questions. I'm going to let you get up out of here in a minute. But, Chris,
right,
you got one for him?
Yeah, I was just curious, all the teams you could play with, Dirk, and played against all these guys, man. What was
Your favorite matchup or favorite player you played against? Throughout the years, I would have to say playing against L.A., Houston, Houston and San Antonio, just to name a few, would probably be some of the best games to, like, atmosphere and to play in and against.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as an individual that I know I've had some good battles with, I would say Al Jefferson. I would say Pau Gasol. Because most of the time I played against Pau, that was that young Pau. That was Daniel, the Memphis Grizz Pau. Like,
yeah. He was a beast.
Like,
battling.
Yeah. I've had to guard Yao. Just some good battles, man. But those guys, like Al, like I talk about Al all the time. It was because remember Al, he was a 20-10 guy for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, he's getting buckets off this right post.
Yeah, and he was, when he was with Minnesota, he was like the first, second, and third option.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most of these guys, man, you deny the post or take away their play. That's it, not him.
Right.
You know, he, them years he had up there, man, you had to keep working. And that was a lot, though. So, some really good battles, man.
And JP, man, I got one last question. It's a silly one. But wanted to see, what was your most embarrassing NBA moment?
I think I had one time I threw it. Like, I took it out underneath the goal and, like, threw it, trying to make an inbound pass, and threw it off the back of the goal. I think, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, bro, let's be real, man. Everybody done missed a dunk. Everybody done missed a layup. Like, I don't really, I think at this point, man, yeah, it might be somewhat silly, but it's just, that's kind of it is what it is, man. But you taking the ball out of bounds, throw it off the side of it, you know, just, that's one of them Shaq things, like, it's got to pay attention, man. Where am I at?
All right, Josh, man, we're going to let you get up out of here, brother. We appreciate you letting us get some of your Sunday, man.
Appreciate it, fellas. Much love to y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me on and giving me an opportunity.
Yes, sir. And if you want to shout out your Instagram handle and all that.
Oh, shoot. Y'all about to give me some more followers?
Hey, man, I'm going to try.
All right. Well, I am on Instagram, Josh21Powell. On Twitter, JP21Reasons. I am new to Facebook. I've only been on for like a year or so. But y'all holler at me. We got, what else we got? Got my foundation. I got a t-shirt line.
T-shirtsaudi.com.
Please get on there. Order up some shirts. Spread the word. Show some love. We appreciate it. The dope thing about that is me and my kids came up with these concepts, and these affirmations, man. So it's a positive, dope affirmation like line. Dear God, dear Queen, dear King. So just, you know, awesome love, man.
Yeah.
Good vibes.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Just show some love, man. And you know, lastly, I got to shout out my other thing too, man. Skillset Academy, man. We started up a little training and training business. Me and a couple other guys, and it's going really well, man. So check us out, Skillset Academy 3. I think I plugged in pretty much everything you can plug in. One more thing, Mentality Man Project. So it's like on some manhood, fatherhood,
like
that type of vibe. You know what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
Where's this based out of?
Shout out to the ladies. We can come travel anywhere, but it's based out of Atlanta. Me and another gentleman named Gary Davis. So we go around speaking, man, and vibing with young men, grown men, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's what's up.
That's it.
Definitely. And then, how out of all social medias, Facebook is your last one?
Yeah. Hey, man, Facebook for the OGs. Y'all already know that. Y'all must be the super OGs then. Y'all already know. Y'all was on Facebook first.
It went Facebook. What? Facebook, Twitter.
Instagram. Twitter.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. Y'all OGs, man. Y'all picked up Facebook first.
We got to get together, man. When y'all come to SAC, let's sit down and have a bite, man, and chop it up some more.
Let's do it. Y'all see the schedule? Just hit me up. You already got my line, brothers. All good.
All
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man. And y'all, thank you. Thank you for listening to another episode of A Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, a.k.a. MH the Champ, along with my co-host.
My boy, Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR.
And it's A Minute Till Six, and we out.